Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18 plus. This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Sadie Eck.
And I am Courtney Eck.
And it's nice to be here today.
Heck yeah, it is. We love you guys. We love spending this horrible time with you. Real quick before we start, we always keep the banter to the back, but one quick announcement for those of you who don't make it through the banter. We have an updated merch store, and you guys, oh my God, oh my God.
It's a treasure trove of amazing things.
It really is. We'll post about it. We will have posted about it on our Instagram before this goes live. So if you want to get a little sneak peek, head on over there. Otherwise, go to our website, link to the shop. Prepare to cry of cuteness. And thank you to Deli Mozingo for the vast majority of the cuteness in there. There is a They Will Pill. There is a Corn Cop Sheriff. There is a beautiful, adorable option for a They Will Kill shirt that doesn't have skulls on it. Mm-hmm. So go over there if you want some Christmas gifts, if you want a little Corn Cob Sherb shirt for yourself, if you want, there's a Bitey and a Snappy. You got, just go over there.
Go. It's so check good. It yes. out. Yes. Yep. Hammock Island postcard. Go. Go.
Okay. Announcement done. Now I'm going to talk to you about something that I don't know if I'll ever wrap my mind around. Mm. This is the despicable, heinous, unforgivable murders of Lynette and Kayleen Keller. Peter Keller was born in North Bend, Washington in 1967 and had a fairly average life growing up. He enjoyed exploring the endless green of the Pacific Northwest, and people who knew him said he was pretty reserved and introverted. Peter met Lynette Rocha in high school, but Lynette was dating someone else at the time and wasn't interested regardless. They reconnected 2 years later through mutual friends, and she said that she'd actually given up on love at the time and wanted to focus on herself and her plans for the future. But when she reconnected with Peter, quote, "he was so sweet and we became like best friends." Around a month after they had become friends again, Peter started talking about marriage and kids, but Lynn, she preferred to go by Lynn, told him she wasn't ready for marriage and that her parents hadn't had the best relationship, so she didn't want to follow in their footsteps. She said that she knew she wanted a daughter, though, because she'd had a reoccurring dream when she was a little girl that she was going to have a daughter one day. They continued to hang out as very close friends, and Lynn said that she felt so comfortable around Peter and that he really helped her overcome her shy nature. Eventually, Peter's sweet nature won her over, but she thought at the time that she was going to be moving and didn't want to start a long-distance relationship. Her sister encouraged the match, though, quote, "so then my sister, we were getting along at the time, she really liked him, and she said, well, you just gotta, you know, you're gonna regret it if you don't. So I was like, okay." So they started dating, and a little over 3 months later, he brought up marriage again, and she said, "where's my ring?" And so they took a trip to JCPenney and picked out a ring. As soon as they got back in the car, quote, "he asked me to marry him, and I was like, of course I'll marry you. And I grabbed the ring, and I put it on my finger, and I was just so excited."
Oh, God.
Lynn and her twin were born on May 28, 1970 in Pomona, California, and the family later moved to Aloha. Is it Aloha, Oregon, or Aloha? I think it's Aloha, right?
Mm. I think
anyone,
so.
Any Aloha-ins? Aloha-ins? Aloha. Yeah. Aloha. I think it's Aloha, where she graduated from high school in 1989. She spent a good deal of her adult life in Portland and Washington State and was an avid crafter, jewelry maker, doll maker, scrapbooker, and, quote, had a talent for combining colors and textures in her art that she made in her extensive craft room. She loved cooking traditional Mexican food and played a mean game of the card game Push. She made a small living selling her creations online and made videos on YouTube to promote her work. In 1993, Peter and Lynn were both 22 and living in Portland when they found out they were pregnant. Lynn said that the doctors kept telling her that she was having a boy, but she insisted she knew it was actually a girl. Everything she bought for the baby was for a little girl. And then on June 28th of that year, they had their daughter and named her Kayleen.
She's like, no, you're wrong.
The doctor was like, I don't know why you're arguing with me about this. And she's like, I'm positive it's a daughter. And he's like, it's a son, ma'am. You know, manifested, I guess. I don't know. Lynn called Kayleen, quote, her dream come true, and said that even if she wasn't her daughter, she would want to know her.
No,
I know. The family moved to North Bend, Washington, where Peter had grown up, and Kayleen was a great student who loved the environment and exploring nature with her dog Dino and her friends. She, quote, baked cookies that could tempt anyone off of a diet, had a boyfriend named Connor, and also loved computer gaming. She graduated from high school in 2011 and had enrolled in a local college where she planned to learn about building computer games. The Kellers were described as a very normal, loving family, and Peter refurbished computers for a living and loved making video diaries of his life, so there are lots of videos of all of them teasing each other and enjoying each other's company. Lynn injured her back in a serious accident at work and suffered from chronic pain after, so focused her attention on scrapbooking and crafting to take her mind off of her struggles. And she also made YouTube videos where she posted her creations, swaps that she did with other crafters, and her small craft supply business. And she also announced giveaways. She also wanted to help people through crafting and was excited to make videos to connect with people and introduce them to her favorite hobbies. In the video she made to promote a giveaway to celebrate her anniversary, she explained how excited she was when Peter proposed to her and what a good husband he was and that he honored his vows and stuck with her through the hard times. She explained how Peter would clean the house and cook for them because she wasn't able to most of the time because of her chronic pain. He would buy her crafting materials she wanted and that he stayed with her throughout her struggles. What Lynn and Kayleen didn't know, however, was that Peter had a secret life.
No, Peter, no. You don't have to do it. Just have a real life. Just have one real good life.
His secret wasn't that he was having an affair or had another family. It was that he had been building a secret bunker.
Oh, yeah.
In the dense forest near his home.
Oh, no.
Have you seen this psychopath?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Yep. Peter had an interest in survival skills and started planning and building the bunker around 2003 as a place to store supplies and materials he would need in an emergency situation.
Oh, man, I am so happy you're doing this story. I was not prepared for the story.
It's so fucked. And there's not a ton of information about this. I spent a lot of time on Lynn's YouTube to piece together more about her life because, of course, this psycho has been widely studied for good reason.
Right.
And I'll tell you why in a moment, everyone that doesn't know this case. But, oy, God, it's brutal. So his sketches showed that he eventually wanted to include a laboratory where he could study viruses.
Oh, God.
Which I think is a real clear insight into his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He used a rope and pulley system to drag massive beams into place. It had an elaborate foundation and had PVC pipe diverting water into the shelter from a nearby stream. It was also two stories. I don't think I added that in the case because I learned about that later, but it was impressive. He called the bunker Camp Keller and carved a space into the hillside that was perfectly camouflaged in the foliage and was large enough for him to live comfortably for a long period of time. He said, quote, "This was just something I've wanted to do, probably since I was a teenager, is to make a home underground so I don't have to live around people." He spent thousands of dollars and countless hours constructing the shelter, and he'd hike an hour in carrying a 30-pound pack filled with supplies that he needed. He also carried in enough supplies to build a kitchenette, enough food and drinks to last a very long time, including a, quote, "emergency vodka stash," a generator to power the home, a homemade wood-burning stove made out of a trash can, tools, and a full bed with pillows, comforter, everything. What likely started as a hobby started to change as Peter neared middle age and became frustrated with, quote, "trying to live and pay bills and live as a civilian and go to work." And the thought of living alone in the wilderness and, quote, "robbing banks and pharmacies and just taking what I want for as long as I can" started to really appeal to him because, quote, "at least it'll be exciting.
No,
it
dude.
Won't be boring."
No, no, you don't get to. No, stop. Go stop. You got to stop right now.
Nope. He added, quote, "I don't have to worry about Lynette or Kayleen, and everything will be taken care of. Mm-mm. It'll just be me."
God damn it, man.
Yeah. Listen, fucking hatchet. Listen, I too had fantasies, thanks to all of the books they read us about orphan children in the wilderness. It was such a theme in the early 80s.
So
I get it.
Much. All
Wild Fang, hatchet. Fucking the kid who lived in the bus that was just also our age. It was like indoctrinated into us in the 80s and 90s that we were at some point the boxcar children.
Laura Ingalls Wilder. I know that she wasn't abandoned in the wilderness, but she was a pioneer.
She taught us a lot. We had a lot of wilderness skills in the 80s.
Absolutely. 90s. I could go churn some butter right now.
Yeah, I could turn a boxcar into a home. God. I could carve out into the mountain with my fucking Rah, scrawl. What was it? A phoenix? What's it called? Falcon? Yes, I could domesticate a falcon after my plane crashes on my way to stay with my dad in Alaska or whatever.
And totally.
All
100%.
All I have is the hatchet.
Like, we get it. We get it. Then go be your little wilderness survival self and leave your family alone.
Yeah. Guess what? That's the thing about the Pacific Northwest. That's the thing about the dense wilderness. If you disappear into it, nobody's trying to find you.
No. Or just tell your wife, "I'm sorry, I don't want to do this life with you anymore. I'm going to go live in my survival bunker." And she's going to be like, "Oh my God, I'm heartbroken." And then she'll remarry and or whatever, or not. She didn't want him in the first place. She didn't want him in the first place.
She very clearly didn't. She did not need him. And he had convinced her that she did by throwing her these scraps of $20 at a time to go to Michael's and get her ribbons. And she talks about it all the time on her YouTube. Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, I can't. Okay. I'm going to have to stop yelling about it because it makes
there's a lot
mad.
To yell about. And there's going to be more to yell about soon. He said that he feared Lynn would bleed him dry financially. And apparently he wasn't willing to keep providing the supplies that made his sweet, gorgeous wife, who remained positive through the extreme pain, so happy.
Bleed him dry.
Yeah.
Mother Jesus, Lord, help me.
Yep. Yeah. And she was like, I'm not a member of the crafting community, but it seems like a lot of what she did was swap with other people. So I'm assuming they're like, "Hey, I'll send you stuff I'm not going to use or that I've used most of and I have leftovers," and so smart, so resourceful. And then they swap these things back and forth and then make a video of what they got from each other. And
so it was
a whole, it's a whole self-sustaining little universe. And her craft room was to be admired. I was drooling to imagine having this whole room full floor to ceiling of all the things that you could ever want to make your little creations. Mm-hmm. And she was so good at it. She sewed stuffed animals. She made these little dress forms, decorative dress forms, paper flowers. Extremely impressive. And she would have been fine without him.
Yes.
Fine without him. And so would have Kayleen.
Yeah. No, you move on. You figure it out. It's fine. You don't get murdered over it.
No. So the darkest part about Peter's plans was that he created extensive video blogs where he shared all of his innermost thoughts and plans, including what would have to be done for him to fully retreat into his hidden bunker and live a life of total solitude. And you guys, it looks like you're watching a YouTube video. He's just out there setting up the thing, filming himself digging these trenches. It's like any influencer of any kind, and just talking to the camera about refurbishing a home or decorating a home or making a fucking cake. But he's saying things like, quote, "I wanted to get a video log in because we haven't done the part that I'm not looking forward to. I am getting pretty close to that time. I'm guessing probably a couple of months away, maybe three. So yeah, I know I can. Once I do this, I can either die then, maybe something will happen, or maybe a few days or weeks or maybe even years. My goal is to make it 10. But that's the hard part, to not care about dying and to still care about this project.
No.
Part of me has a hard time even imagining doing what I'm going to do. But as I think about it, I always come up to the same conclusion every time. I'm starting to get more okay with it. Other times I feel like I'm more than ready. I've tried to make it in this world and it just isn't happening. I'm 40 now and I'm running out of time."
40.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Okay.
Yeah. Whew. Whew. Yeah. Yeah.
Courtney.
Yeah. I don't even question it anymore. It just seems like everything makes so much sense now. You know, the more I've thought about it, the more I understand it. I don't really feel bad about it. It's just the way it is. You know, certain things happened to cause this to happen. So I just kind of accepted it and am just rolling with it.
No.
Yeah. Around this time, on Valentine's Day of 2012, Lynn posted a video to show off the flowers Peter had gotten for her and bragged that he'd gotten her extra because he knew she'd want some for her scrapbooks, too. He included a card with money for her to buy the supplies he knew she wanted. About 2 weeks before he carried out his horrible plan, Peter made a video that required several takes. So he just kept, all of the drafts of this video are on the hard drive, but he retook this multiple times. But essentially he said, quote, "Well, it's about 2 weeks before the end. This is going to be my last video probably before, well, till after that. It's about 2 weeks before I finally drop out of society and start this project. Fully commit to this." And just imagine like taking multiple takes of that. Like, no. I just got to make sure that I present this in the best way. Like, who do you think is going to watch this and be like,
yeah,
wow, dude, bravo. Wow. Good.
You really stuck to your craft.
You really saw the plan through. You really are inspiring the nation. I don't like what? Who are you talking to?
And I'm trying to find the right words. But as a woman in her 40s married to a man,
yeah,
the amount of work and time and resources and like commitment.
Yeah.
And I'm picturing her.
Yeah.
Feeling safe and supported, yeah, and probably not perfect relationship, but not, I'm assuming, not expecting her husband to be plotting her murder.
No.
So he can go live in his secret boy bunker.
Yeah.
And how does that happen? And why? And fuck that guy.
She very clearly didn't see anything coming at
God,
all.
And that's so scary.
Yeah. Very scary. Very scary. And it's clear that she has her accident. She can't return to work. There's super limited information about this case, but I did read that she was collecting a disability check. So she did have a small amount of income coming from that. And she was really like committed to this crafting stuff. And I know that it's an expensive hobby and I'm sure she wasn't clearing like tons of money on it. But between him, quote unquote, like sticking around after she was injured, listen, I am somebody whose spouse has had a lot of health issues in the last 3 years. It's extremely fucking difficult, but never once, ever for 1 second, my only concern has been her happiness and her comfort.
Absolutely.
And I remember there's a point where she was in so much pain that she couldn't get off of the living room floor for 2 months. And that is not an exaggeration. Mm-hmm. And I had shifted my mindset to, okay, this is our new life. This is how we live now. If Laura is bedridden for the rest of her life, thank God in heaven she is not. She has medication, works. Mm-hmm. She's been able to treat it, etc. But yeah, I very quickly shifted. And I was like, okay. And she and I talked and she's like, if I can't paint anymore, I am mentally preparing for what the next phase of my artistic career is. She needs to use her hands. She couldn't use her hands. She can now, thank God again. But yeah, if you love somebody, that it's just not an issue. It's an honor to have had that kind of love and have that kind of partnership. Mm-hmm. Is the most special, mm-hmm. magical, important thing in the entire world. There's nothing more precious to me on this earth than what I've shared with my wife.
Absolutely. And so then you add that and a child together, and he's planning to do this to his daughter.
No.
What? How? Please, somebody tell me how. Please. How does that happen? And how do we feel safe in the world?
Yeah. No. And we're always like, how does this happen? What was going through his mind? We get to hear
tell.
It.
Oh, good. We get
but
to know.
It's not going to make you feel warm and comfy.
No, of course not.
FYI. So on April 22nd, 2012, at around 8:45 a.m., several people who lived in the same mobile home park as the Kellers reported hearing an explosion and then seeing flames coming out of their home. When firefighters arrived, they found Kayleen and Lynn in the bedroom, dead of gunshot wounds to the head, as well as 7 gas cans, a homemade explosive device that had yet to detonate, and the front door had been blocked with stereo equipment and furniture. The fire had started when someone left a gas can on a skillet on the hot stove. Police immediately expected that Peter had something to do with his family's murders and started questioning family and friends about what could have happened. Kayleen's boyfriend Connor said that she had told him about her father's bunker, which he called Camp Keller, about 2 weeks previous, but they weren't sure where it was located. He also said that Peter had showed him his gun collection, which included several pistols and large caliber rifles. They found his car parked downtown with the keys still in the ignition, and he had recently withdrawn $6,200 from the family bank account. They were also like, maybe he's been kidnapped, mm-hmm. you know, if his car is abandoned and the money's been withdrawn. They also subpoenaed Peter's cell phone records and tried to triangulate areas that he had traveled to over the previous several months so they could pinpoint where he might be if he was hiding. Detectives knew there was a good chance that if Peter was responsible for the crime, he was likely hiding out at Camp Keller, and they were able to get a search warrant for the home and managed to recover several computers, hard drives, and cell phones from the home. So let's all say a huge thank you to the firefighters who put this fire out so quickly. The women's bodies hadn't been burnt. It seemed like it was relatively untouched. And if that explosive device had detonated,
all of the evidence would be gone.
Everything would be gone. And the firefighters would have also probably died because they were like climbing on the roofs to put out the fire and stuff. And so, yeah, God in the universe wanted Peter Keller to get caught. Good. Very clearly. So when they reviewed the electronics, they found Peter's video diaries, which very quickly confirmed their suspicions that he had likely murdered his wife and daughter, and so a manhunt was launched. Today's episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors.
By offering just a few new selections each month, Book of the Month cuts the clutter, saves members time, and makes it easier to decide which book to read.
They offer new and emerging authors, which allow them to offer books that their members would not have found otherwise.
and they offer the best prices on new release hardcover fiction, as well as free shipping and loyalty reward program.
And when they say affordable, they mean it. I was just poking around on their site, and my God, that is a very affordable way to find new books. They also just launched curated audiobooks in addition to their hardcover selection, so members can choose, download, and listen to audiobooks right in their app. And we know people who are listening to podcasts probably love audiobooks, so get on over there and pick one out, you guys. I am particularly excited because they have Lisa Jewell's novel, None of This Is True. I've been waiting to read it because I have not had time to read it, but Christmas break is coming up, so I'm going to make time to read it. I love Lisa Jewell. If you haven't read her, her characters are phenomenal. Her books usually have at least a bit of a thriller aspect to them, to full-blown thriller. She's a beautiful writer. I cannot wait to check it out.
And I'm excited for the early release of No One Can Know by Kate Alice Marshall.
That was my second choice.
Ooh, maybe we can switch when we're done reading them.
No. Just kidding. Yes, I would love to. So if you want to join Book of the Month, just go to bookofthemonth.com to pick a book and join. For a limited time, you can join and get the first book for just $5 with code 4U.
That's just $5 for your first book with the code 4FORUYOU.
All one word, please and thank you. Quote, it's a little bit chilling because it makes you very aware of the fact that he planned to go into the bunker weeks, months, and probably years ahead of time.
Chills.
And also indicates that he planned to commit the double homicide years ahead of time.
No, dude.
Detective said.
Courtney.
Yeah. And to watch his videos and then watch the videos that she was posting at the same time and just being this little sweetie pie.
No.
Doing Michael's unboxing videos and swap videos and fucking giveaways in honor of her marriage anniversary.
No.
Yeah. She's like, I've been with him for 20 years. And that's what she tells the story of the engagement, which she very clearly had talked herself into over the years.
Right.
You know? Right.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Because she's like, oh, you're just proposing to me in the car? Okay. But I just grabbed the ring and I put it on my finger because I was too excited to let him even put it on my finger. I said, of course I'll marry you. I'm like, oh, honey. They also found photographs of the area around the bunker, and one was a wide shot of the mountain from downtown North Bend, and a power line was just barely visible in the photo. They also noticed a couple of streams near the bunker, and so were able to triangulate two areas where the bunker would be located. They also received information that Peter's truck was regularly parked at a specific trailhead. And so over the next 6 days, police thoroughly searched the area by foot and by air. They were able to spot smoke from the bunker's chimney as they flew overhead. But since they knew Peter had a stockpile of weapons and didn't know if anyone else was involved, they knew they had to get a better sense of the situation before they tried to arrest him. And if you are law enforcement in the Pacific Northwest, you know better than to go charging on into people's secret bunkers. Mm-hmm. We've learned that lesson very thoroughly. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
They surrounded the area, and then a team dropped a gas canister into the bunker in the hopes of flushing out whoever was inside. They waited for 10 minutes, but no one emerged. So they decided to throw a grenade near the bunker, but still nothing. They finally lowered the officers into the area to surround the bunker, and they announced their presence and told them to come out with their hands up. Moments later, they heard a pop inside the bunker, and so they broke through the roof to gain entry. Inside, they found Peter dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. In one of the videos, Peter had said, quote, I do have my escape, and that's death, he said with a laugh. I can always shoot myself, and I am okay with that. They also found, quote, more than a dozen guns, propane tanks, gas cans, binoculars, stacks of ammunition, and a bulletproof vest.
And how long did it take them to find him?
6 days.
Oh, my God. So you got to be your lost boy self and for six days.
Yep. I hope it was super fucking duper worth it, you piece of shit. I just was imagining him, too. If you're somebody who hyper-focuses on things, like the building of the thing, we all know anybody with ADHD, not to say that people with ADHD kill their families to continue to hyper-focus on things, but we know what that feels like. Like, the building of the thing is so much fun. And then once you have the thing, you lose interest in the thing.
Totally.
So I was just imagining him, like, being so excited to move into this bunker and then getting into his dirty dirt bunker with no light. There's no light once you get in there because he's got to close it up.
Yeah.
He's got a little sad, like a lantern. You could barely see the interior of the bunker in his videos because it's so freaking dark and dank. Of course it is. And then just getting in there and being like, and just sitting there.
Yeah. What are you going to do now, buddy?
Yeah. Just sit there.
Well, gotta heat up my beans now. And yeah. I gotta go get the gather drinking water.
Firewood.
Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's again, like, you can do that. Go ahead and just leave your family and say, I'm sorry, I got to go live in my weird dirt bunker. But that's not what this was about. It's about control.
Absolutely. And I totally understand wanting to live out of society. Sure. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
But there's absolutely no reason you can't do that on your own.
No.
The cash that was found in the bunker, which CNN reported was tens of thousands of dollars. So he's like, oh, Lynn's going to drain me financially with her $20 I give her once a month to go to Michael's. Tens of thousands of dollars in the bunker was used to start a memorial scholarship in honor of Lynette and Kayleen, and the bunker was dismantled and destroyed. Quote, Lynette Louise Rocha Keller and Kayleen Nicole Keller were vivacious and creative individuals who will be missed deeply by their family and many friends. Lynette was active in the crafting community and loved to share her paper crafts with others. Kayleen had dreams of being a video game designer and wanted to attend DigiPen Institute of Technology in Redmond, Washington. To ensure that her memory lives on, the Rocha family has established a scholarship fund in Kayleen's name that will be geared towards individuals who emulate Kayleen's persona. The scholarship established at the Seattle Foundation will be used to support students who have similar interests in attending DigiPen as Kayleen had. I think the Seattle Foundation is no longer.
No.
I tried multiple links to find that scholarship, but I don't think the Seattle Foundation is active, and so I don't think that the scholarship fund is active anymore.
Bummer.
I was going to link to it, but I couldn't find it. So if anybody has any information about its existence, please let us know, and I will post it. And so why exactly did Peter spend all of his free time building a secret bunker and feel the need to kill his innocent wife and daughter before eventually killing himself? I will leave you with his own words on the subject. Quote, you know, as I do this for hour upon hour, it's like I just sit here and think about stuff. Think about, how did I get so fucked up? How did so many things go wrong? I don't think it's all my fault. I think it's more my upbringing, my shitty family life. I was just too ugly. Nobody cared. Yeah, basically last year has been really tough on me. I've been coming to terms realizing just how pathetic I am, and there's just no hope. It's been tough. Wasn't interested in anything anymore. Couldn't motivate myself. All I could do was work on this. It was the only thing that could make me feel better. But I think I've come to terms with it. I'm starting to feel better now. I'm not quite sure why exactly. If it's just that I'm getting this further along, or maybe I've just come to terms with what I am, my situation, and kind of working through it. I guess it's because I don't have anything. I never did. No money. My looks are horrible. No personality. I mean, I'm okay with it. It's just that I understand now very clearly, this is the only thing I have.
Oh my God.
And that, my darlings,
no, Courtney, no.
Yes, is the unforgivably horribly, most disgustingly, despicably bad thing I've heard in a long time.
Oh my
God. That is the case of the horrendous murders of Lynette and Kayleen Keller.
Holy shit. Just let's real quick back up to his words. If that resonated with you, go talk to somebody about depression, A, because yeah. It sounds like that's what that yes. was.
Yes.
Deep depression. You don't have to build a bunker and kill your family.
No, exactly right. Yes, that is exactly right. There's lots of ways to be medicated.
Oh, my God.
To seek therapy, group therapy, join a fucking racing club, yeah. running team, yeah. join a survivalist group, not a militia, please. Oh, no. Please. You can have a militia, but just be like a chill militia that doesn't, yes. you know.
Portland's full standoffs. Of LARPers. You could go be a pioneer LARPer.
100%. Yeah, go live in a fucking bus and kill your own self in a bus in the sure. winter in Alaska, you, by all that's means. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
He clearly had skills. That's the thing. This guy was good at what he did. Not fuck him, but also yeah. you have this stunning family. This loving, beautiful, creative, intelligent family who love you, who are interested in you, who have given you fucking everything. And there's not as much available about Kayleen because she didn't have full YouTube like her parents did. Mm-hmm. But the videos of her and her dad, she's just giving him a hard time. She clearly enjoys him. Oh, it's just disgusting.
Chilling. Chilling.
It's disgusting. I can't begin to wrap my mind around it, to have such a gift. Imagine all the people out there who just don't get to have that.
Yeah.
No. Don't have that love of this like stunning family who are, you know, a woman who is, and you can, there's videos of her. She goes on there and she'll say, today's a bad day. She's so obviously in so much pain. And she still goes on there to check in with people and explain what the status is of things that she had planned to do, but was unable to do in time because of her chronic pain. Yeah. And we all know what it's like to be in pain. If you are in pain and you don't want to do anything, that is fucking fair. You should not have mm-hmm. to prove yourself and have do this whole thing. But this guy who thinks that she is such a drain on him, she was not a drain on him. And if yeah. she was, get over it, dude.
Right. Leave her. Go away. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You're an adult.
The delusion of it. Wow. It's just so infuriating. I feel so fucking sorry for her family.
Absolutely. For their family. Can you imagine? No.
Give her to me.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yes.
As a stranger, I would take her. Give her to her parents. Give her to her twin. She had a twin.
No, dude. Please. It's so upsetting.
Yeah.
It's so upsetting.
Yep.
And when I think about my time of depression.
Yeah.
All I wanted was to escape.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to hurt anybody in that escape. And I didn't want to hurt myself.
Sure.
But it's what I thought about the most.
Of course you did.
Just wishing. I understand yes. that feeling.
Yes.
But what he did is unforgivable. There's no justification for that. Ever, period, done. No.
Well, the thing that kept you going and kept you in place was the love for your family.
Yes. Yes.
Because that was stronger than your need for your own comfort and your own escape from things that were uncomfortable for you.
Right.
You pushed through them. You leaned into them. You sought help. And now you have a better life than you ever imagined you totally. Could have had. Because that's
And I
happens.
Talked to my spouse about it. And I... I talked yeah. about it and I eventually it took some time, but yes,
yeah.
I just cannot imagine. Oh, God.
She's also somebody, and I'm sure she did this out of a feeling of obligation because it clearly made her feel like she needed him. But she's also somebody that allowed him autonomy, which is really a special thing. It's mm-hmm. a special gift to give from a spouse. Codependence is much more common in our society. We're also built to think that your spouse is the only thing you need in the world, which is like the craziest idea ever. Totally. That's one of the things I value the most about my relationship is our independence and our autonomy from each other, mm-hmm. is allowing each other to have our own separate lives. I trust you. I want mm-hmm. you to have your own life. I don't want you to feel like everything has to revolve around me. But at the same time, like, we honor what we have with each other.
And every couple makes their own commitments.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that Lynn did not commit to him leaving.
No, but she did allow him to have this thing for himself. She understood yeah. that it was important. She gave him that freedom. She trusted that he was who he said he was. And he was this supportive husband who supported her, you know, gave her her craft room and supplied her with the money to continue to afford to be able to do the things she loved and mm-hmm. pretended like he was doing it because he loved her. And he wanted her to be happy, but he really was just distracting her and ingratiating her to him mm-hmm. and making her think that she needed him. And then to ultimately use her as an excuse to justify his fucking behavior.
Yeah.
Which is the grossest thing to me. We always want there to be some sort of answer to the question of why these things happen. And we want it to be because of some like secret deep thing that we are not aware of, but it's just as simple as he is just a selfish mm-hmm. shithead mm-hmm. who hated his wife and hated his daughter
and hated himself
and punished hundreds or thousands of people as a result.
Yeah.
Fuck. I know.
Dude.
Do over. Rewind and just let him have been possessed by a demon, because I need it to be demon possession. But seriously, it's just not. It's just no. not. It's just bad. It's just badness.
Yeah.
And selfishness.
God.
I know.
Oh, I wasn't prepared. I've been seeing things pop up about the story a lot, and I remember yeah. hearing about it before, but yeah, yes, being like, oh, that's a terrible story. Moving on. Thank you, Courtney. Thank you.
I know. I almost
I have been very
it.
Curious about it and yeah. wanting to know more. And so I appreciate not having to be the one to do the work to find out about it. So thank you.
I almost abandoned it because it is one of those ones where you're just mining through mm-hmm. weirdness to try to suss it out. And thank God for Lynn's blog. I would have abandoned it if it wasn't for her
yeah.
YouTube. Because I was like, how did they meet? If her stuff didn't exist, I definitely would have abandoned it, because then it would have just been extremely vague and weird and been like, and they met somehow. And then 3 months mm-hmm. later, they got married for some reason. You know?
Then he killed her. We don't really know why.
Yeah. And luckily she was pretty open about a lot of their life on yeah. her YouTube. But
man, jeez, where do we go from here? Because I just want to go lay down. Yeah.
Just go look at your husbands and be like,
yeah,
we good? We cool?
Uh-huh. And how do you know? I don't know. Because you can say, yeah, it worked great, babe. And then you're like, really, though? Really?
Yeah. Hypothetically speaking,
how likely are you to have a hidden bunker, murder bunker?
If you have a murder bunker, just FYI, you can just go live in it. I won't tell anybody you're mm-hmm. gone. Mm-hmm. I won't come looking for you.
No, our daughter's grown. There will be no child support.
Single shit. Oh, and this is the other gross thing I realized. So he had left the hard drives in the house, assuming they would burn up or blow up, right? Mm-hmm. But he could have taken them with him mm-hmm. and ensured that nobody would ever know where he was. So he obviously was not that concerned about surviving this.
No.
And more than anything, he wanted people to see his super
Marvel.
Cool bunker.
Totally, 100%. Yeah. That's what, yeah, this all just yeah. screams.
Narcissism AF.
And death, like he was planning a suicide, ultimately.
Yeah.
He wasn't planning to survive, really.
No. Yeah.
He just wanted to play out this fantasy. Mm-hmm. Kill his family.
Yep.
And then let people marvel at his wonder of this stupid ass bullshit bunker.
Yep. Because he did it, guys. Ugh. He did it. He spent 20 years digging this trench, spent every weekend from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. His wife gave him the freedom every weekend to go from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. out to his little man bunker.
In the course of deciding to live your life, looking at true crime cases.
Yeah.
I tell Ryan often, if you ever decide this isn't working, like you and me, let's just go ahead and call it quits. It's cool. You don't need to murder me. Definitely don't need to touch our children. Just let's divorce.
Yeah.
I'll figure. Yeah. We can figure it out. We can make it work. You need some money. Don't kill me for the life insurance, please. He's like, I don't plan to. And I was like, that's what they all say. How do I trust you? I don't.
It's a weird thing because it does happen. And it like feels like a crazy thing to be like, are you that person? And I would like to think that my spidey senses are strong enough at this point that I can recognize somebody who's potentially dangerous.
Either, well, you'd like, think that.
Mentally, emotionally, physically. But happens, man.
Totally. And I think that the victims in most of our stories, the ones that are caught off guard, really thought they knew their person.
And especially because it's like 90% of the people who kill the wife is the husband or the boyfriend. Totally. Or someone they knew.
Well, thanks for nothing. Thanks for everything. Gross. That sucks. And I'm so, so sorry to their family. Like, I can't even
sickening.
Begin. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sickening.
Oh, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here?
Name time, a little name time. Mm-hmm.
I have a correction I have to throw out there
real quick. Oh, you gonna get your lashings.
I am. So you probably didn't. You probably thought we were done talking about Jim Jam. Jim Jam is what I thought it was called.
Never done.
Never done. So I had coffee with my friends, the one who mentioned, who told me originally about Jim Jam. And I was like, hey, listen, you didn't tell me about the car.
Yeah.
Jim Jam's car. And she's like, oh, no, I fully did. Because that's the whole point, is that I live next to this weird guy with his weird MAGA car. And I was like, well, I miss that. I'm sorry. Because sometimes my little ADHD brain, once you say something and then I go off in my own brain, I don't know, I miss the rest and I apologize. And I said, I talked about it on the podcast, talked about Jim Jam and the Shim Shams. And she said, oh, no, it's Jim Jam and the Scrim Scrams. Okay. And then this morning, she sends me a picture.
Scrim Scrams.
Of a pen. It's like one of the, it's red and it's a ballpoint pen. Mm-hmm. And it says Jim Jam and the Scrim Scrams.
God. Can how many Jim Jam and Scrim Scram pens can we get? Not that I want to support him if he's, you know, like a hates gay people or whatever, but
I'm thinking we just make our own pens.
Will we get sued by Jim Jam and the Scrim Scrams?
And I texted her. I said, I'm so jealous of your pen. And she wrote back, it is a very good pen.
Is it cursed?
So, I don't know, but how I'm gonna get Kara, my friend, to get me a pen. I need a pen. I need Jim Jam to give me a pen.
Well, it's just, I can't remember what it's called when you, not an earworm, but it's kind of like an earworm. It's part of neurodivergence where you say you have to say things out loud. Like mine was DeColdis Crawford for a minute. Jim Jam and the Scrim Scrams is very much, very much one of those things that I want to say. If I see Jim Jam and the Scrim Scrams written down or you say it, I have to then say it to you because it's so comfy. And I'm just imagining thousands of people around the world right now saying Jim Jam and the Scrim Scrams out loud because it feels so good. Do it, guys. Right. Do it.
And I thought that Shim Shams was pretty good, but honestly, Scrim Scrams is better.
It's way better. Yeah. Way
and
better.
And what is a Scrim Scram? I don't know.
Well, because Shim Shams kind of made sense. I mean, if this guy's like a MAGA guy and he thinks, you know, things are shams, like that makes sense.
Exactly.
Shim Shams, but Scrim Scrams makes no sense.
No, I picked
wants the Scrims to scram. Are we the Scrims?
Are we
supposed to scram?
I mean, honestly, it brings up images of like Muppets.
Yeah.
Like he is in a band with Muppets.
Yeah.
Or
like mops or, like Fraggles that he's, things he's created, like a
the
Chuck
Scrim.
E. Cheese. And he's the human, live human, and there's the Scrim Scram.
Exactly.
Band. Yeah.
Totally. Like animatronic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you know that Chuck E. Cheese was invented by the inventor of Atari?
I think I did know that. I've watched some Showbiz Pizza documentaries.
Oh, yeah, it was Showbiz before. I forgot about that.
So, yeah, I think I actually did know that.
And did you know that there was this legend that all of the E.T. Atari games had been buried in the desert Did you hear this part?
No.
So he did this like a Star Wars game and it was a huge success. Oh,
okay. I have heard about the E.T. Keep going. Yes.
And then Steven Spielberg was like, hey, I want an E.T. game, but you have 2 weeks from conception to completion.
Yes.
2 weeks.
Yes.
to make this game. And so he did it, but it was like such a colossal failure. It was like the worst ever game.
Wasn't it also incredibly hard? Like very
Atari
very,
was fucking hard.
Yeah, but this was period. Unwinnable.
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
But it was a huge failure. And so there was this legend for since then, since we were born, that they had taken all of the E.T. games and buried them in the desert to get rid of them to so people couldn't have access to them. And it was true. This team recently, like with the support of this guy, he was part of it. He was like, yeah, let's go figure this out. Like went out into the desert, figured out. I can't remember how they figured out where the games would be, but because it's in this part of the desert where they like tested nuclear bombs, it required multiple levels of government
clearance
approval. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you can dig one hole. Like they had got the 17 agencies to sign off and they all agreed. Okay. Yes, you can look, but you can dig one hole.
Wow.
And if you know, I'm sure there's parameters. They couldn't just dig one hole that was, 2 miles wide, but
right.
They started digging and they found,
holy shit.
They found a joystick first. They saw the red button of the joystick and then they uncovered just thousands and thousands and thousands of Atari games. Most of which were the fucking E.T. game.
Wow. That's amazing.
I just love that.
We gotta hide it, like, guys.
Quick, take him out to Nevada. Bury him.
This was a huge mistake.
It cannot be known for this.
Bury it quick. They'll never know it happened.
It's like Elon. If Twitter was a physical product, Elon would be burying it in the desert right now.
But trying.
Sad. It's just out there. We just all have access to it. Know what's going on.
Yeah, I can't just call it something different and think people will forget about Twitter.
Give it the worst ever logo ever. This is the most clip artist. You know he did it. He was like staying up late on adaptogens or whatever.
God.
Jamming out on Microsoft Paint and made, there it is. That's it. That's going to blow their minds, Max. Have you looked at that logo? Has anyone looked at that logo?
No, I guess I find myself just
pull it up.
Okay, I will right now.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's so terrible.
Oh my God. Who? Okay, he has literally billions of dollars.
He's literally the richest man on earth, quote unquote. I don't believe that for a second. I think he's broke. But that is what they came up with.
Wow. That's amazing.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Yeah. Bury it in the desert, Elon. It's done. You're done. It's done. Okay.
We covered a lot of ground. Time? We covered so much ground. Jim Jam and the Scrim Scrams. Name time. Let's
name time. Someone was listening to DNA ID and someone tangential to a case was called Norman Dickensheets. And they said, so I Googled it and it's real. RIP Norman F. Dickensheets. You lived a long, hard life. Hugh Bean, which is cute on its own. But then they also clarified, where you been? Where you been? Where you been, Hugh Bean? The Harry Balls Government Center, named after Fort Wayne's longest running mayor. Sadie sent me this one. There was a contest to name the new government center. And the front runner was Harry Balls Government Center. Fort Wayne was like, I don't think we're going to let that be in the running. I don't know what the outcome was, but that's
Don't open up a contest like that if you've had a mayor named Harry Balls
for a very long time. And also people who live in Fort Wayne, please confirm or deny, was Harry Balls reelected so many times based simply on the fact that his name was Harry Balls?
I would like to assume so.
Right? Mm-hmm. That would get me to the polling. I mean, I vote, but that would get me to the voting booth if I didn't. injury law office in someone's town called Feeling Petty. P-H-E-L-A-N. Feeling Petty or Feeling Petty.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Someone went to school with a boy named Major Raper.
What? Oh, God.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Beauty shop, another one. Curl up and die. I would like a map of all the curl up and dies around the world. Please.
So you can visit them all?
Yes. Scooter Corkle. What? Are you kidding me? Please name me Scooter Corkle. Wet Wong Slack in East Yorkshire. Oh, I think it's a road. Wet Wong Slack in East Yorkshire. And I think this one has come up before. Whip Mawatma Gate. I'm pretty sure I've said the word Whip Mawatma Gate. It's a street in York, which is where Ben is from. And I'm going to beat the shit out of him for not telling me there's a street in York, which he doesn't listen to this podcast. He wouldn't know about name time, but you should just know that he needs to share that with people when he met. I am from York, and that's where Whip Mawatma Gate is.
Oh, man, my mind went to dark place. Like, why are you hitting me? You don't understand. Don't understand.
Ben, get over
here.
How
could you let me down?
Get over here. Got a score to settle, Ben.
Poor Ben.
Sweet, sweet Ben. Some store names. Bread Pit. Lick her shop. I'm assuming, like, liquor shop. God. Lick her shop.
Wow.
Fart.
Did my 6-year-old name that one?
Fart. Fucking Chinese.
Ooh.
Fooking Chinese. Cafe Bitch Nah. That's obviously Thai. And I don't normally include foreign names, but that one is fucking fantastic. B-I-C-H-N-G-A. Bitch Nah. Or Vietnamese. That's probably Vietnamese. I Don't Care Bar and Grill. Someone had four principals. I imagine going to a school that has four principals. Sadie and I didn't even need a whole principal in our tiny school.
No.
Their names were Green, Blount, Miller, and Light.
Wow.
And they did make t-shirts in honor of those four principals.
That's amazing.
Dr. Janelle Rolo Coaster.
No.
Yes. Yeah. Renee Bean Wiper. I feel like Bean Wiper has come up before, and I want it to come up again. Yes. W-Y-P-E-R. Someone went to school with Jeremy Bates, and they found it highly amusing that when he received his exam results, the letter was addressed to Master Bates. Someone in a town, a tattoo shop, employs two men named Ben Butts and Todd Cox. Okay, and real quick, this one's a bit of a thing, but I was looking at Christmas presents for my nephews, and there was like a Spider-Man retractable web getting toy, and I didn't really get them like toys this year because they've sort of moved beyond the point that they play with toys and they just end up in the landfills. But these are like, you know, web shooters.
Right.
So I was like, maybe I'll make an exception. So I'll read the reviews. And I'm reading these reviews and I'm like, I don't think these are real. So here's a quick, here's some names and a couple of the reviews. Joshua Wizox and Wizox comes up multiple times, but Diana or Dittina is hitched. One sucker is mad on the third day. That was a review. So I was like, oh,
what?
Yes. Joshua Wizox. Dittina is hitched. One sucker is mad on the third day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't buy that toy. Or do? <Maybe. laughs>
Mrs. Yvonne Golgowski. Super Toy Boy. Delighted. I recommend fast delivery. Super Toy Boy, says Mrs. Yvonne Golgowski. Rosa Gislason says, okay. Estelle McClure, DVM. Allison Yunt. Jackie Jasklonski. No. Yes. Doreen Schuster, the first, says negative 0 out of 10. My son is very happy with his spider silk. Super recommended, fast delivery. Very good.
Wait, negative 0 out of 10.
Negative 0 out of 10.
But she loves it.
My son is very happy. I'm like, that really does such a double negative there, because it's wow. a 5-star review. Negative 0 out of 10.
What? We're not on a 10 scale.
Listen,
and that's not how this
Doreen,
works.
Doreen Schuster, the first. I mean, there's so many things you need to explain. Yeah, we're not on a 10 scale. I didn't even actually pick that up. But from now on, people are like, okay, well, how do you feel about it? Negative zero out of 10. Wait, does that mean 10 then? Dr. Muriel Whitting. You're kidding no. me. Sydney Flatley said, the glove is nonsense. 5 stars. The glove is nonsense.
Oh my God.
Santiago King the First. Dr. Gary Tillman. Shoot well. Suction cups don't hit much, but it's okay. Ebony McCullough Sr. All good. Her review, all good. Ebony McCullough Sr. Candace Walkert. Carol Tromp, PhD.
No.
Yes. Delbert Welch. And Carol Tromp, PhD. This bitch got a fucking PhD. Went to school, got herself a PhD. And her review, okay. She's tired from writing her dissertation, yeah. apparently. Willis Eltonworth. Mrs. Jeremy Abernathy.
You're killing me. I'm going to pee my pants.
I was like shaking the bed. I was laughing so hard reading these at night, like in bed. My wife's asleep next to me.
Oh my God. I'm just imagining the chat GPT.
Like, dude, like what
give
AI
me some
generator.
Good reviews.
Yes.
But Mrs.
With American
Jeremy
believable names of
Abernathy.
Eula Lemke, MD.
Oh my God.
Yes, Eula said, my little one's charm. Ella Simonis. Very well, it says.
No.
Yes. Beatrice Feeney, DVM. No. Better than expected.
What's a DVM?
I don't know. I need to look it up. Benjamin Erzner, the second, muy bien, said Benjamin. Benjamin, muy bien. Alfred Flatley. Leonard Framey. Terrible P.S., said Leonard Framey.
Terrible P.S.
I don't.
Piece of shit. 5 stars?
Yeah, 5 stars, of course.
Of course.
Mrs. Lucas Wizza. Mrs. Carrie Orne. Angelina Wizza.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Family. It's a family affair.
Yeah. Look, honey, did you review that Spider-Man toy yet? Oh, I forgot.
But I did, lesbians. But you should too.
Oh, but they must be sisters because it's Mrs. Lucas Wizza and then Angelina Wizza. Albert Gaylord, of course. Agnes Pfeffer. And here we go. This is where it gets real good.
Oh, because it's not been good already.
I almost died. No, trust me. Iris Legros DDS.
Yes. Yes. I was wondering if they were going to bring a dentist into the mix.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Randall Quitzon. Quitzon. Randall Quitzon. Leah Lemke. Cheryl Faye DDS.
Yes.
Lydia Langosh. Natalie Showalter. Oh
God, it just never ends.
No. William Goodwin DDS. Hazel Kurtzman. Hector Ebert. Dana Marquardt. Bill Wizox. Alonzo Feast the First.
I'm gonna die.
Oscar Lushke. Neil Friesen, Whitney Barrows, Paula Camerata, C-U-M-M-E-R-A-T-A.
Oh, my God.
Mrs. Gerald Franeski, Hattie Satterfield, Mr. Hugh Roble, Miss Myrtle, Ramo Guerra, Kelvin Camerata II, Luz Erdman, Angelica Rice, Dr. Lamar Anderson, Miss Wayne Wittenheiser, Mrs. Miriam Stuber, Clyde Kulas, Eddie Goldner, Donnie Sanford, Dorothy Ann Cunding, William Quitson, Isabel Williams, Tony Wuckert, Ernesto Friesen, Brent Nicholas, Judy Bosco, DDS, Caleb Nicholas, Kelvin Torp, Yvonne Torp, Jesus Hill with three L's, Miss Kenneth Akuneva, and last but not least, Crystal Clocko.
That should have come with a trigger warning for possible heart attacks. Nation, what is happening?
I can't believe it. Oh my God. Believe it.
We have to order it and see what happens.
I could, and then put a review. Like, did everybody just cut? Is there like a TikTok where everyone's like, all right, guys, we need to review this toy, but everyone has to just name themselves the craziest thing you could think of. That would be great. But I think we should start a TikTok and be like, I found this. This was clearly generated by AI, but we should just do this for real for some product. Yes. And just like blow it up like some small business. But everybody has to give the craziest names. Dana Marquardt. What? Lydia Langosh.
I start doing it for our own reviews on Apple. And then people will think they're fake. Negative 0 out of 10.
Negative 0 out of 10.
5 stars.
It's my little one's charm. What? Corey Dack. I mean, it's just like, and at first I was like, oh, that's funny. Oh, that's a funny review. You know, I'm like, okay, yeah, obviously this weird was not written by a human or, you know, like they just made all their employees write these reviews or whatever. But then I just kept going. I was laughing harder and harder. They got the DDSs. The further I went in, Carol Tromp, PhD. Like, what? What's happening? It's so good.
God. Well, thank you for that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. Thank you. And thank everyone.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God, these, oh wait, these just are running so long every time.
I know. Really don't.
Let's give a double dose of Patreons next time for Christmas, a Christmas dose. Ooh, we got a bunch of new Patreons. Thank you guys so much for signing up.
I'll try it out again. How about you'll do three, I'll do three next week.
Yes, yes. If there's anybody who wants Sadie to do three, let her know.
I'll sing it to a Christmas song of your choosing.
Pick, I don't want a lot for Christmas. yes, we'll do six next week, three and three. So if anybody wants one, and if you sign up now, we're about to send out a new batch of goodies. And some of those goodies are going to be from the new merch. There is corn cob sheriff stickers. You guys, not only is there one corn cob, there's a regular corn cob just chilling. There's a corn cob sheriff saying, yeehaw. And there's a corn cob sheriff holding a lasso that spells out yeehaw.
I mean, get one of each.
Thank you, Deli.
Thank you,
Deli. You're a genius.
You're amazing.
Yes. So go check out the merch. Sign up for Patreon. You could get a corn cob sticker. Corn cob sheriff sticker.
I'm going to get a They Will Pill mug.
There's They Will Pill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like overwhelmed by it. I'm like, I don't even know what to get. I got the real Bitey and Snappy sweatshirt. Just a panic purchased it right away. But I want because I want everything else and I don't, I'm like having freeze from figuring it out.
Well, we'll all order bits and pieces and we can always get more.
No, for sure. Well, and I wanted to order something just to test the printing, quality. Make sure it's not shitty. And also was waiting for Deli to send the rest of the Genius. And now that all the Genius is in, I'm like, oh my God, I'm probably just going to get one of everything.
Yeah. So keep, if you have suggestions, I think we're going to do special drops, merch drops here and there through the year. Yep. And you want to see something, we can make it happen.
Definitely. Oh, and those of you who suggested the things that we picked, we will be announcing who you are and get you a link so that you can order the things that you want.
Yay.
Yay. Or that you won, that you suggested as merch options. So if you want to get in on all this fun, guys, get on over to Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter.
Not so much Twitter.
Not Twitter. TikTok, the other T one, or YouTube at They Will Kill. You can go to our website, theywillkill.com, and you can email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. You can rate, review, and subscribe to us. Please do. If you want to give us -0 out of 10, but actually 5 stars, that would be really helpful.
That would be very funny. That would be very funny. Yeah. Just like Cupcake with a K. We got tons of Cupcake with a K. We got tons of sex gangs. Remember that back in the day? Oh, God.
Yeah. I forgot about sex gangs. We're so strange.
A new one. -0 out of 10. Subject, -0 out of 10. You have to do it on Apple Podcasts. Spotify doesn't have you can't write out your review. If you are not on Apple Podcasts, I think it's, you know, like if you don't listen to us on Apple Podcasts, you can still review us on Apple Podcasts if you have
if
access.
You want to.
Yeah. So oh, -0 out of 10 as the subject line. Go.
Go do it.
It'll please. Be funny.
But then do 5 stars if you like us.
Yes, please.
And thanks, AJ Bergantz, for your music.
Thank you so much.
And remember,
my sweet boy's charm, -0 out of 10. The poetry of, what was the first one? And remember, Datina is hitched. One sucker is mad on the third day.
If you play that backwards, it's going to like unlock the portal to hell or something.
We love you.
We'll see you real soon. Thanks for being here and goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.